The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. We thank you for being a part of the program here on a Monday afternoon. We have a lot to do today and a really big show on tap, including the director of the college football playoff a little bit later on. So let's get to some of the headlines. And the CFP subcommittee has opened the door, however slightly, perhaps, to expansion. We've been talking about this for a long, long time. Is it finally arriving? And a little bit later on, we will talk to Bill Hancock about whether or not the CFP is finally going to go beyond four. There's a sense that we are very close on that. So that's a big story today, and we cannot wait to hear more. Meanwhile, the NFL draft is Thursday night, and where do the 49ers stand with the third pick? That is the question. How long have we been talking about this? This is all about Mac Jones, and Mel Kiper Jr. will join us in just a few minutes to get his take on that. Trevor Lawrence has signed a deal with Blockfolio. So the question is, will he be paid in crypto? That's a headline from the street. You don't see too many street.com headlines on our show unless you're checking the Dow, which is slightly up right now, I believe. Anyway, let's check out from the athletic director, The Athletic. This is quite a story, how Eli Drinkwitz and Mizzou ended up with the most diverse staff in major college football. It started with Curtis Looper, who used to be on the staff at Auburn under Gene Chizik, and it has really developed into one of the, not only a diverse staff, but a very highly respected staff, and a chance to see this program move forward. Meanwhile, we had a caller ask us about this a couple of times last week, and turned out the caller may have been ahead of the regular media. Kim Mulkey going back home. She's heading back to Louisiana, three-time national champ, Hall of Fame coach from Baylor. Her son played baseball at LSU, and this is a picture of her and the other national championship coach on campus. So that's where we are. We mentioned a number of guests will be joining us throughout the afternoon, including Mel Kiper, who he's just a few minutes away as we get close to the draft. Feldman on that Athletic article. We'll talk to Scott Rabelais, not only on the Mulkey hire, but what is going on off the field in Baton Rouge. Certainly last week there was more news as the week ended. And Bill Hancock, who is the executive director of the College Football Playoff, will join us in the final hour. Very eager to hear Bill's first public comments since Friday's announcement that there was perhaps an at least conversation about the future. Let's get to the phone calls at 855-242-7285. You can always give us a ring, reach us however you would like, and let's begin with Mike, who is first up. Hey, Mike, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah. I'm calling about the Arkansas Razorback baseball team.
Arkansas baseball team? I would say they're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, I think it's the best team we've had. Really good team.
Well, you know, this team, what was it, 3 years ago, during the 18 season, came within an out of winning the national championship, and this team looks very similar. So I'm curious what...
Well, I don't know, Paul. That team was kind of the Bad News Bears in the outfield, and they had a lot of errors. This team don't. This team's leading the SEC in errors. They're leading in home runs, and they field like pros. They're good.
Well, listen, Mike, the good news is that it is the end of April, and we're a month away from the SEC tournament and 5.5 weeks away from the NCAA baseball tournament.
Yes.
So I would say your optimism has been acquitted quite well, and keep the faith. We still have a long way to go before we get to the tournament that really matters. 855-242-7285. That is our number. I mentioned all the guests. We're going to get a lot of reaction today, and especially about the CFP. That news was breaking as we were heading out of here on Friday, so we never got a chance to dig deep into it. We had Brett McMurphy on, I believe, in the final hour on Friday, and he said he thought this was the moment. A lot of people agree with him. Let's get back to the calls and talk to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, how you doing today, my friend?
We're okay, Matt. What'd you think of the game?
I thought it was a pretty good spring football game. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of drop passes in there. And the offensive line didn't protect the quarterback, but the quarterback looked pretty good. I like Zada. I like Haynes King. I like Eli Stowers. They all look pretty good, Paul. But I'm not going to say who the quarterback's going to be. It's not my job. I like the way they look, Paul. But I do agree to a certain extent what all the ESPN analysts have been saying. But I don't agree with them 100%. You can't say Jimbo Fisher in this offense is going to take a step back when all the starters are injured and banged up. But at the same time, a lot of those players did not play last year with the team on this team. But I do think they're going to take a step forward and still challenge Alabama in the West this year. And I wonder what your thoughts on that are, Paul.
Well, I'm not really concerned about that right now, Matt. Until everything settles down, I think it's I realize you're a fan and you've got a lot of interest in this, but I'm more than willing to see what happens over the next 2 to 3 months. And I think A&M will be in contention. I do agree with that, but I don't really think it's something that we can determine right now. Let's check out Jack, who is up next. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, hey, Paul. I just wanted to say I watched Zach Wilson work out on TV, and I really think he is the best combination of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. And he's sort of a Drew Brees, but with legs and a slightly better arm. I think he is going to be a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is I think his running is great for a guy that tall, but it's overrated. And he has a great arm, but I don't think he's going to make the adjustments in real time that Zach Wilson can make at Brigham Young. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, Jack, I appreciate your call. I disagree. And you've laid it out pretty well, but I am an unabashed believer in Trevor Lawrence. I think he is that generational player, but I'm a talk show host. I do not study this day in, day out like our next guest. I don't go to the film. I prepare for a show every day. And while that's a big topic of conversation, it's one reason why we have specific guests like the ones we were having today and have been having for the past 3 weeks. I appreciate your thoughts, though. We're up against a break. Mel Kiper joining us in a couple of minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, in case there's one person out there that didn't know this, Thursday night is the draft, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can see it on ESPN and ABC and wherever you choose to watch. And if you're watching ESPN, you will be seeing this man early, often, and beyond that. He is Mel Kiper. Needs no introduction. And Mel, I'm just trying to think. I'm almost about to ask you the prosaic and predictable. Is there anything you haven't been asked yet? Because I see you when I wake up. I see you when I go to sleep, and I talk to you whenever you're nice enough to come on. So, how do you pace yourself answering the same questions over and over again?
Yeah, it's all different, Paul, because everybody attacks things from different angles, and then you have to look like a lot of people, haven't heard of this before. Everybody's not watching every show or reading every article or listening to every radio show, every Dari and Mel show every Saturday, Paul. So you got to assume that. I remember Jay Rothman always told that. Oh, people aren't watching everything you do. So when you come on draft day, you don't have to feel like you're saying it for the 100th time. Everybody's not watching every second of what you're doing. So if you have that approach, I think, you don't look at it as something that's repetitive. It's something that's new, and everybody has a different take on things.
You're right. And we act like, because we swim in this every day, and you more than us, mm-hmm. that the rest of the country, but the numbers prove it out, that the difference in what you'll get all day or all night on the network is significantly different. So when you get to Thursday night, do you talk the same language? Do you water it down? Do you gussy it up? What's your approach?
You can only be who you are, Paul. That's 43 years of doing this, 38 years at ESPN, and every draft's different. And that's the thing that makes you enthusiastic. How do you sustain enthusiasm when you do it? Because they're all different. These are all players who are going to hear their name called for the first time. And only one time in their life will they ever go through this draft process. Families watching, all coaches, teammates, high school team, everybody that went to school with these players is watching and tuning in. So it really is a tremendously different draft every year for that reason. And drafts are all different. Some have one position stronger than the other. I said early back in August, this will be the most mysterious draft ever, Paul, one that we've never had before. We never had a draft with no combine since I've been doing it. So we had no combine. We had a season where guys didn't play or opted out early, or didn't play many more than two or three games, right? An interrupted season. So it's been one of those years where you tried to get through number one and now prepare for a draft, like I said, is unlike any other I've ever dealt with in my 43 years.
And this is a quarterback-heavy draft. We know that. We've been hearing that now for a long, long time. Is this where we are right now in college football, heading to the NFL, or is this an unusual year?
Well, I think next year, you know, you're going to have maybe Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, and Sam Howell, North Carolina, and some others. And then you'll have the big draft coming up in 2023 with the Clemson quarterback. So I think when you look at where we are right now with these five getting pushed into the top 10, have they been elevated too high? Well, Justin Fields was 1-1A with Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school. Trey Lance had a phenomenal 2019 season, only played one game this year. And then you think about where Zach Wilson and Mac Jones were. They're the two most intriguing, Paul, because they weren't expected to be up this high. Zach Wilson didn't have a great 2019 season. He was looked at as a good prospect, an intriguing guy, because he had great arm talent. But it really all came together this year for Zach Wilson against a very inferior schedule. And then you think about Mac Jones. Did we really think Mac Jones in August would be the third pick in the draft, possibly, to the 49ers? No, we did not. We were even wondering if it'd be a first or second round pick for that matter. And here's Mac Jones maybe going ahead of Justin Fields and Trey Lance. So all five had a different journey, a different path. Trevor has been number one for 3 years, and he maintained that. All the other guys were just trying to figure it all out.
Mel Kiper with us. Mel, what happened to the running back? That used to be the premier position, and we in the past used to see running backs go number one, or at least in the first two or three, and now I heard you earlier today debating with others. Does it even make sense to take a running back in the first round?
Yeah, I think history tells us you don't have to, you don't need to. Some will, Paul. We had one last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, go final pick in the first one. He was projected as a second. And the three guys we thought could be a first all went in a second. And that was J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State, and then Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, and DeAndre Swift from Georgia. This year, you're thinking Najee Harris. You're thinking, you know, Travis Etienne from Clemson and Javonte Williams from North Carolina could be first-round picks. Probably one of those three, maybe two of those three, Paul, go in the first, because you have really Arizona at 16, you have Pittsburgh, and you have Buffalo. So you have three teams that could look running back in the first. Maybe one of those three or two of those three take a running back, and those three names I mentioned are the three running backs that we're really picking from, with Najee and Travis Etienne being the two guys we talked about all year. And now Javonte, after a brilliant 2020 campaign, soaring up the draft board to the point where he could be a late one, early two.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Mel, ultimately, when you start to this week, when it all ends, for these young men, what's the most important moment for them? Is it during the season? Is it post? Is it pro day, Senior Bowl, and without the combine, we'll take that one out. But usually, that would factor in pretty large, wouldn't it?
It would, and I think this year, Jim Nagy bringing as many players as he did to the Senior Bowl, allowing the interview sessions with the NFL, because we didn't have a combine, you didn't have all that. The medical, which I'll learn more about tonight when I make your calls, the various GM, that's important. How they're going to weigh the season, Paul. 2019 season went normally. 2020 was anything but that. Players were impacted by everything not being normal and the COVID situation, and some players even being impacted by that, worrying about family members, everything going on, the tragedy that was this year with COVID. So I think you have to really, how heavily will they weigh 2020, I guess, is the thing I want to see, as opposed to a 2019 season where some kids had great years. Others, look at Rashad Bateman, wide receiver Minnesota, didn't play as well this year as he did in 2019 because of the COVID situation. So you got to factor all that in, Paul, the uneven season, the abnormal season, everything being interrupted, uncertainty from week to week, day to day. Everything being completely different. Teams are even looking at next year's draft choices even being more valuable. That's why I want to see MA teams trade for extra picks next year. Say, if you're in the fourth, I'll give you my fourth. You give me a three next year, and I'm happy to make that move. How many teams will actually do that come Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
As we head toward the middle to the end of the week, this is Monday, of course, is the 49ers pick still the most unknown, or do you feel comfortable in seeing that pick go to Mac Jones?
I'd say 60-70% sure. Diana Rossini was on with us on GetUp, Paul, this morning, and she said they're still making the decision. They're kind of mulling it all over. Well, the mulling period ends when? Pretty soon, right? In a few days. I would think they're figuring it out by now. If you make that move up from 12 to 3, I think you know who you really want, or the one or two quarterbacks that you're trying to figure it out. So I think it'll be Mac Jones. Trey Lance was the other option you heard in terms of your intel about what the 49ers may have been thinking, that was going to be, a Trey Lance or a Mac Jones, with Mac Jones being the favorite. Now, everybody wants to kind of have uncertainty now, create that, because teams are talking about your organization more. Once you guarantee, like right now, the Jets and the Jaguars, we know where they're picking, Paul. Nobody's talking Jets and Jaguars. They already know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So from an organizational standpoint, you get a lot more publicity, Paul, and a lot of national attention when it's an unknown. So the 49ers have kind of thrown out there that I still think it's going to be Mac Jones. And I do think the draft begins with Atlanta at 4, which could go quarterback, could go tight end Kyle Pitts, or could trade out of that pick.
And before you go, I'm just curious about that, because I think what Atlanta is facing, a lot of other clubs are dealing with farther down the draft. It's the philosophy of, we got a quarterback, but he won't be there forever, and right, we can go grab one now or later. How do you solve that conundrum?
It's a tough call. That's an organizational decision. Matt Ryan, does he have 2-3 really good years left? Do you feel like you're strong enough about, say, Trey Lance? And that's the quarterback we hear, Paul, that Atlanta is considering, is Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Do you feel like it's perfect? We can sit him for a couple of years. He can be the heir apparent to Matt. Do you feel good enough about his ceiling, about how his potential is? Or do you feel like Kyle Pitts is going to give us another entity? There's talk about what's going to happen with Julio Jones moving on. We don't know what Atlanta is going to be looking like come Thursday night, but certainly wide receiver could then be in play. Ja'Marr Chase could be in play. What happens by Thursday will impact, I think, that decision. And trading out is something that's been out there. People have said to me, well, that pick's for sale. We'll see if it is come Thursday. So I think the fifth pick, is Cincinnati going to take the left tackle Penei Sewell, who would be a guard as a rookie? Or are they going to take, a wide receiver like Ja'Marr Chase and reunite him with Joe Burrow? There's a lot of uncertainty with those early picks. There's talk that Carolina at 8 could take a quarterback, even though they have Sam Darnold. I'm not buying it, Paul, but it's out there. So that's why this time of the year, sometimes you're better off not answering your phone and just knowing what you know and going with the logical solutions to these things and letting the chips fall where they may. So I always get frustrated and confused when the more time I spend on the phone, because you get opinions all over the place.
Speaking of not answering your phone mail, as you get closer to Thursday night, that's a stressful night. Not that going through the rigmarole of what you do every day isn't, but do you finally draw the line in the sand and say, okay, this is it. I'm not doing any more interviews. I want to go into a room and chill out, or do you just, is it business as usual up until the start of the draft?
Normally for me, Paul, Wednesday night is the night to just talk to everybody, all your friends in the league, everybody. And when it comes about 1 in the morning, about 1:30 in the morning, it usually ends. I have to have a mock draft, the final mock draft 5.0 ready for that night to go up on Thursday morning. And that's the end of it. But at that point in time, there's no – and Thursday, you wake up and you're ready to – it's draft day. So, no – and you know, once in a while, I'll get a call then. And guess what, Paul? Sometimes it's a call to kind of throw you off a little bit. So you got to be careful on those calls that come in on draft day. I'm right to the point now where I'm not taking any more calls. Whatever comes in Thursday ain't going to get to me. It won't get to my ears. So I'm done. The mock draft is in. The ratings are finished. I'm finalizing ratings tonight, Paul. My final rankings and my big board will be finished tonight. All the positional rankings, they'll all be up on ESPN.com. Final rankings as of tonight.
Mel, thank you, and we will make a vow. We won't bother you again until afterwards, because we do respect what you do. Hey, thanks so much for coming on with us so often. It's been a real pleasure to be able to talk to you leading up to the draft.
Paul, it's never a bother. I enjoy doing your show as much as any, so call me anytime. I will definitely not say okay. No to you, Paul, ever. See you, pal.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it. We're all watching Thursday night. Mel Kiper, Jr. I mean, I don't know about you, but at this point, a guy like that, you might want to just go for a walk or chill out or listen to some music. We will take a break. I may do that right now. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. We're going to get to your calls in a minute at 855-242-7285. I mentioned the CFP at the beginning. So there's talk about expanding the playoff. The CFP released this the other day that they have looked at six, 8, or 16. So we're eager to talk in a couple of hours to Bill Hancock. He will join us in the final hour, the 6 p.m. Eastern time hour. So what will he say? I don't know. But you know, we threw this question out there the other day, and I'm still interested in where all of you land. I mean, there are arguments for both. You can easily say the amount of people watching the games has lessened. The majority of the games right now are blowouts, so you have to do something. Some of you have said, well, shrink it. Have 1 and 2 like we used to with the BCS. That would probably eliminate some of the blowouts, but that's not happening. That's not practical, even though it conceivably could be better, and maybe in some ways you could argue that the old BCS was better than what we have now. The most logical is 8. 16 is not even possible. I don't know why they even threw that into the mix, but we'll ask Bill in a couple of hours. So will 8 solve that problem? Is that going to do one more thing about giving you better games? You're going to, instead of 1 versus 4, and this year it was, I think it was a 17-point game, but it, for all intents and purposes, it was a blowout. Is that going to solve the problem? If you're having, let's say, Alabama this past year plays Cincinnati, is that a better game than Alabama-Notre Dame? Is 2 versus 7 going to solve the problem? Is 3 versus 6, you know, go right down the list. So I'm really wondering. I don't think you're going to solve the problem easily. And, you know, maybe expanding it is just closing your eyes and hoping for the best. Although you do include, you're more inclusive, and clearly that seems to be where the country is moving, at least the country in relation to college football, everything else as well, of course. So that's where we are. We'll get back to the calls, 855-242-7285, and Sean is up next. Hey, Sean, go right ahead.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am well. Thank you very much.
Today's my birthday. I was going to give you a shout-out on my birthday.
Well, one
of my favorite people to talk to.
Well, thank you. Happy birthday, Sean.
And we was talking about the college football playoff. You know, you're going to talk to Bill in a little while, you know, a couple hours. What's a good number if they expand it from four? I think no six would work, or possibly eight. But do you think 16 would? Do you think it'd be too much?
Yes. In a weird sort of way, Sean, six to me is the best number for this reason. You give one and two a first round bye, which I think they're entitled to, but they're not going to go that way, because to get it approved, you're going to need the support of the Group of Five and other conferences. So I think that's the only way. And if you get eight, everyone can coalesce around that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call again, and you have a good day today.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't even know if I could imagine 16. I mean, one versus eight. I can't even fathom who one versus 16 would be. You would have to have buys. And secondly, the only other way to do that, you have to play on campuses. You can't play neutral. I'm not even sure in the three weekend playoff you can. I think the first weekend has to be on campus. You just can't have a game. A neutral site game and expect to generate very much attention or interest from a home base. In the semifinals, you know, you have all year to promote it, and people just want to go to the game, and you try to make it convenient. But if Alabama in the first round is playing the number 16 team, forget it. I remember at the first college football playoff, we were in New Orleans, and we ran into a bunch of Ohio. I couldn't believe, like, why are there so many Ohio State fans in the quarter? And we couldn't find that many Alabama fans. And I finally ran into a couple of Alabama fans, and they said that a lot of their friends said, why bother coming to this game? We're going to beat Ohio State so badly. We're just planning on going to Dallas and saving our money. Well, didn't work out. Let's continue with more calls. And Justin is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Justin. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes. So I just want to see what Paul Feinbaum thinks about the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, and where they're headed.
Well, Justin, I feel good. I like what I've seen from Shane Beamer. I think he's exciting and has brought a lot of energy into the program. But the question I have is, how long will it take him? He inherited a pretty weak roster, and recruiting is going to take time.
Yeah, and that's a question I have for you, too. What do you think? I mean, I was at the spring game yesterday, and
What do you think?
Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Boom. I love the enthusiasm, the hype, the whole new what he's bringing, yes.
Well, Justin, I think you're right about that. I, I think he gets an A-plus in the enthusiasm and the hype. I just I don't know yet whether he can get the right players in there soon enough. And I don't think it's going to happen this year. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
And did you obviously did you see the he gave you an out from work and Saturday down south? Got me out of work to be in the stands and beautiful.
Well, that is fantastic. I'm really glad that you got a chance to go see the game, and we love Coach Beamer here, so we'll talk to him very soon. How about Feltz up next in Tennessee? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, huge fan.
Thank you.
I was just calling in to ask, what do you think about, a lot of people argue that expanding the playoff bracket is going to increase injuries and stars are going to get hurt. What do you think about that argument?
Well, yeah, it could happen, Feltz. I don't have statistics that would back that up, but anytime you add more games late in the year, you're very likely to get more people hurt. But I don't think adding one game, I remember, this is not one game for 130 schools. This is one game for a small number.
So I appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you.
Fact.
Yeah, no, I think it's. I don't think you can ever stop and think about. Well, I mean, it's one thing if you add, four games to the regular season, but I don't think one game is going to be a big deal in that regard. Anyway, we're heading to a break. More to come. More of your phone calls. 855-242-7285. We'll talk to Scott Rabelais a little bit later on about things in Baton Rouge. Bruce Feldman the next hour. We have Bill Hancock in the final hour. Tomorrow, Nick Saban will join us on the 10-year anniversary of the horrific tornado that ripped through Tuscaloosa and may have played a role in him still being at Alabama. Wednesday, we'll talk to Kirby Smart. More of your phone calls coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And I wonder how many of you Saturday night on ESPN were watching Kentucky beat Texas for the Women's Volleyball National Championship. It was quite exciting, and congratulations to the Wildcats. Let's check out Vern in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Vern.
Hello, Mr. Feinstein.
How are you?
I just called to tell you that I'm so happy that the UK women finally won the volleyball championship for the first time of any team in the conference.
No, it was really cool. I watched some of the Thursday night games and most of it on Saturday night, and that was a very exciting atmosphere.
What's so great about it, it's finally the SEC has broke through on volleyball by winning the first championship ever. So I hope that all the other schools in the conference would be supporting him.
Well, I'm sure they will be. Guy is up next in Houston. Hello, Guy. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. I know that you're no more of a mathematician than I am, but you made a funny comment to the caller just before the break, talking about injuries and extra games. If we go to that eight-game format, you said that it's not like the kids would be playing four extra games after the regular season. Actually, two of them will play exactly four games. They'll have the conference title, a quarterfinal, semifinal, and the final. We know from the regular bowl season that a lot of the teams, including my Bulldogs, when they go to a bowl game, if it's not a playoff, you'll have some of the players looking at the NFL who sit out a game. But I don't think that will happen in the playoffs. If they get a chance to play for the title game, everyone will show up. And if they get into the playoffs, they'll show up for every game they get to play, including that fourth game if they're one of the top two. So I don't think the fear of injuries would stop any of the eight playoff teams. But it would be four extra games, but I really don't think that would be too many. That's a regular season for the NFL. It'd be a total of 16 games for the best two teams in the country.
Yeah, and Guy, the best can afford it because they would normally be deeper than anyone else. So, I mean, the schools that you worry about playing extra games are those who who run out of players, like Vanderbilt last year. They barely got the season in because they just had no depth, and players opted out, and it was a mess. But that's not going to be an issue for Alabama or Ohio State or programs like this. They may be thinner in January than they would have been normally, but we're still talking about that. That's just part of college football. That's part of sports.
Well, I agree, and especially the motivation. If you have a chance to play in the playoffs, people like Nick Chubb would come back for a fourth year to Georgia for that chance to play in the national title game. And I think all the players at these top schools, if they're not hurt, they'll be out there playing. And it'd take a lot to hurt them enough that they'd miss a game.
You are correct. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Guy. You take care of yourself. Let's check in next with Scott, who is up next. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Paul. For about the last month, I've been kicking around this crazy notion of how to do a college football playoff, and I've come up with a 14-team scenario that I actually think would work because okay. It answers a lot of the questions of the different constituents. But to keep them from making the season too long, I'd shift the regular season to 11 scheduled games. I say scheduled because there's a way the teams who don't win the conferences can get that 12th game back. 14 teams, number one and two get byes. So there has to be a benefit to being one of those top two. The next 12 go to the New Year's Six bowl games. The problem lately has been that the only two of the New Year's Six really matter because they were the semifinals. Let's make them all matter. So the conference champions automatically go to those bowls. Wait a minute, there's six bowls. There's five Power Five conferences. So they get the games. There also used to be a regional component to the bowl games. So let's reestablish that, create that regional interest. So, you know, a Pac-12 goes to the Rose, Cotton Bowl goes to the Big 12, SEC to the Sugar, ACC to the Orange, which leaves the Big Ten. They could pick the Fiesta Bowl or the Peach Bowl, take their pick. But once they pick it, and the fans like being able to go to the same places all the time. The last bowl goes to the highest ranked independent or Group of Five conference champ. They have regional interest. It benefits the fans. And now you still have six more teams to go in, because with the eight, I just see that being an intermediate step to the next set of complaints, which is 9, 10, 11, and 12. They're never going to be enough, and it'll just kind of be an intermediate failure. Now, to make all this work, I'd like to shift the New Year's Six to just before Christmas, make them the Christmas Six Bowls. Play them on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, something like that, and then we give the players a benefit by rule. No team activities for the players the 24th, 5th, and 6th, so they can all go home for Christmas. The coaches will work, but hey, they're getting paid. Also, I'd like to give them the benefit of a special rule that says the schools can pay to send them home and bring them back. And if they want to go back to campus, that's fine, but a benefit to the players. Then the winners of those 6 games plus the 1 and 2, you start your round of 8 on New Year's. Now, the thing that kind of makes it extra interesting to me is all their regular teams only now played 11 games if you didn't go to the conference champion. One good thing that came out of the COVID year is that we've figured out that, you know what, if you want to bad enough, you can make a last-minute scheduled game and make it a good one. Why not give every team a chance to schedule their own 12th game as long as they're not in the conference championship?
No, Scott, I have to run here because we're out of time. But the very last thing you said may appeal to me the most, because we showed that you can schedule games. The BYU Coastal game, which was an entertaining game, one of the better games of the year, was put together just days before when I think it was Liberty had to back out. So that's a fantastic idea. We're out of time. Bruce Feldman next hour, Bill Hancock in the final hour, Scott Rabelais next hour with some breaking news out of LSU. More to come right after this.